You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy himself, Matt Franciscovich. What's up?
Hey, James Coe, we got football tonight.
Oh, man.
We have football-like substance.
Right. Come on, it's football.
It's football.
The Hall of Fame game is tonight.
Preseason is underway.
What is it, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern? I think is the time.
Sure. Sounds
we
accurate.
We have checked out the paint on the field, right?
We're going to be good. Hopefully someone has.
We're going to be good this year, right?
MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what's cracking?
A couple things. One, a couple birthday shout-outs. One, a happy birthday to Matt Harmon,
yes,
our pal, who got a little step closer to old yesterday.
He did.
Can we call him our old pal?
Old pal. But also a big happy birthday to amazing quarterback, everyone's favorite fantasy signal caller, Tyrod Taylor. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's Tyrod Taylor's birthday.
My God.
Apparently somebody else is having a birthday today, too. Some other NFL player. I don't know who.
Haven't heard about that.
But Tyrod Taylor, happy birthday, bro.
Oh, I mean, clearly we're celebrating the best quarterback of all time's birthday today, and that's Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor. Yeah.
That's a very good point.
There it is.
That's a very good point. We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gailhar. What's up?
Just moving a little slow this morning, post-Harmon's birthday. You know, many beers were consumed. So
there were indeed.
And Brussels sprouts.
And Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts cake. So it's good to start out with the pod and kind of ease into the day.
Oh, man. Let me tell you something. You know, I was there too, and so I got home. It was fine. But I couldn't sleep.
Mm. Me neither.
I don't know what it was, but I couldn't sleep. Usually I sleep like a rock, man.
Me too.
But so I couldn't sleep. But then, and then I finally go to bed, and it's like, I don't know. I think it's like 2. I think it's like 2 a.m.
Jeez.
And not 45 minutes goes by when Baby Code decides that she wants to have a nightmare.
Oh.
It was brutal. Anyways, we got a great show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about the overvalued series that the gentlemen here in this room have written. It's basically what running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks are overvalued in their minds in fantasy as we sit today. So they kind of look at big name players, their current ADPs. Marshawn Lynch on this list, Spencer Ware on this list, Nuke Hopkins on this list. How about Derek Carr, Matt Ryan on this list? So the gentleman will explain. We'll, of course, go back and forth. We'll close out your show with a round of daily daps, but we start your show, and we've got a lot of them, with a round of your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, so we will start in the MIA. Ryan Tannehill left practice with an apparent left knee injury. I don't know if it's – again, the team is waiting for the significance of it. They don't know if it's – well, the reason we're freaking out is because it's the same knee that he tore up at the end of last year.
Correct.
So how severe, we're not sure, but the team is bracing for this to be – a relatively significant injury. So we're still awaiting word, but it doesn't look great. Gentlemen, if he does go down, thoughts there?
Well, I think we can, cancel the Devontae Parker breakout, right?
That's a good point.
I think Jarvis Landry.
For the third season in a row.
Right. If he's not there, then I think you cancel the Devontae Parker breakout. Matt Moore obviously would slide in as the starter. But you're looking at a guy who, he's only been a legit full-time starter once, and that was back in 2011. Since then, let me see if I can do the quick math. He has played a grand total of 10 games since 2011. That's not great, Bob.
Not great.
So, I mean, I think Jarvis Landry is still okay, but no other pass catcher is what I really concern myself with there.
It might add to the risk. I mean, some people are already pointing to some of the risks associated with Jay Ajayi in the first round.
And right.
If they've got a backup quarterback in there who can't threaten defenses deep, that might add to his risk.
Who is the backup there?
It's Matt Moore.
Matt Moore.
That's what he was saying. He played in the playoffs.
Last year against the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
I remember some Steeler player tried to erase Matt Moore from planet Earth.
Got destroyed.
He survived, and he's going to be backing up Tannehill again. But I wouldn't, like, overreact to Ajayi, but it just will be something to bake in, you know, if you're close between Ajayi and another player when you're drafting if there is no Tannehill. But, yeah, it sounds like they're hoping for the best but kind of expecting the worst right now with
That's what it sounds like right now, which is not great. We're taping this, by the way, Thursday morning. So, you know, a lot can change, obviously, in the next few hours here. But as we sit Thursday morning, Ryan Tannehill, left knee injury. The significance of the injury is not yet known. All right, we'll go to Indianapolis. Jason LaConfora had a report that Andrew Luck could possibly start not the preseason, not training camp, but the regular season on the PUP list, which would mean he would miss the season's first six games. But then there was another report that came out that basically said, no, the timeline is still set for Andrew Luck to return, or get taken off of the PUP list before the team's first game. But, man, we just keep getting these reports on Andrew Luck franchise, and none of them are good.
No, and I feel like we talk about this every podcast, and it's like it's so mysterious. Like
we're a little overdue. Sorry for one of these.
Yeah, that's right. For sure. And the fact that we don't have any clarity, I think, is the bigger red flag than anything else.
And like, you've dropped him down significantly in your quarterback ranking.
I think he's out of my. I think I put him into QB 12.
Man,
Earlier in the week, and we talked last time. Like if he misses the first 6 weeks or however much time. Can we count on T.Y. Hilton as like a borderline wide receiver one? Probably not.
I would say Dante Moncrief's value tanks as well. So, man, that's
concerning. Yeah, even though they say Luck keeps saying no reason to freak out. Like,
right.
I think the GM keeps saying he'll be ready for week one, but there's no clarity here, and it's very concerning.
All right, we'll take.
I want to interrupt quick because I just saw another injury popping across Twitter.
Oh,
could be extremely minor, but.
Okay.
Corey Davis was seen walking gingerly on the sideline and heading inside with trainers this morning at practice. Titans rookie wide receiver.
Wondering perhaps if it's the foot, maybe?
Could be the foot, could be an ankle. We have no details yet, but it'll be a situation to monitor.
If it's the foot, that's no good. If it's the foot, that's no good.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll stay with the wide receiver theme. We'll go to Houston. Will Fuller, broken collarbone, expected to miss the next 2 to 3 months. Whoa! That will take them, obviously, into the regular season. But who benefits here from a fantasy perspective if Will Fuller, you know, is not available?
Braxton Miller, I think, is the guy to keep an eye on.
Is it Braxton Miller? Is it Jalen Strong? Who is it?
I would right now keep an eye on Braxton Miller.
Okay.
I think he's the guy who's going to get the first shot, I would guess, at taking over that job if Will Fuller, or you know, I guess in the event that now Will Fuller is going to be gone for a while.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's the guy kind of to keep an eye on there, but you know, who knows? I mean, it could be a situation where maybe they rotate a few guys through there, and maybe we finally get a longer look at Jalen Strong, which we have been sort of chattering about for a couple of years. But you know, I don't know. I do think it helps. It helps Nuke. It helps DeAndre Hopkins because
how so?
Because he's the reliable guy there. I mean, he's the guy that everybody knows about. And so if you are down an option, why not go to the guy you know can make plays for you on a consistent basis?
Very good point.
The Texans' depth at wide receiver is a little scary.
Is it?
Behind.
It is.
Yeah. Like Braxton Miller and Jalen Strong are the 3 and 4. And then behind them, it's just like guys, Justin Hardy, Wendell Williams. I don't know who of these guys are.
Well, Justin Hardy was on Atlanta's wide receiving corps for a long time, but it's interesting. He's out of Eastern Carolina,
East Carolina.
He's out of East Carolina. He's got a lot of speed, so if they're looking for a guy to be able to stretch that field.
I think this is a different Justin Hardy.
It is.
Out of Illinois.
Oh, Hardee with two E's.
Yeah.
Oh, so like the restaurant. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Like the East Coast Carl's Jr.
it's a concern. Like, if Will Fuller is going to miss 3 months, I don't know what to do here.
Wendell Williams is from small University of Cumberland. Allegedly, he ran a 4.19 40-yard dash, so James,
yikes,
put him on your radar.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
what?
But he's 5'10", 186.
He ran a 4.19?
That's what this YouTube headline is telling me from the
if we can't trust anything. I mean,
James, it's on the internet. It's real.
It's on YouTube, for God's sake.
So
it's
got
to
be real.
Yes, I love it. He's an interesting piece, Will Fuller is, because if they had better quarterback play, certainly he's one of those, you know, best ball guys, yes. But I think he stretches the field and opens it up a lot, I think, for, you know, somebody like Nuke as well. So, I don't know. You guys are right. You know, if he's not available, it's not great for the Houston Texans offense, and I wonder how that will impact Nuke Hopkins as well. We'll stay with the wide receivers. How about Sterling Shepard? He suffered a relatively significant ankle injury. I think they're hoping it's just a sprain. I think he's going in for MRIs today. Am I correct in saying that?
For who?
Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard.
I believe so.
It's a severe ankle injury in terms of a sprain. I think that's the initial thought. X-rays came back negative, so no broken bones there. But he did leave practice. Oh, by the way, he left practice and was in significant pain. But I think they're just anticipating him being out the next, you know, couple or few weeks. So we'll cross our fingers there and hope for the best. How about for the Ravens? Their O-line has been decimated earlier this offseason. Remember, John Urschel retired, surprisingly. And then now rookie Nico Siragusa tore up his knee. He's gone for the season. Now, why do we bring this up? Well, listen, when you lose to, and I get that John Urschel wasn't, you know, he's not a superstar. Siragusa, a rookie, again, but they were supposed to have starting roles on this offensive line. And as we sit a month away from the start of the season, Baltimore's kind of scrambling around now, kind of looking for replacements on that O-line. Then you think about Joe Flacco missing time. Then you think about Crockett Gilmore being done for the season as well with an MCL tear. Dennis Pitta is gone. I mean, there's a lot of reason to worry up front for Baltimore, and I wonder what that means for their pass catchers. I wonder what it means for their running backs as well. Alex, your thoughts?
I'm not like completely panicking yet, because we've seen, you know, offenses have many major issues with the offensive line, but the skill position players are still able to thrive. It's not like a complete death sentence if the offensive line is bad. Just last year, the Seahawks had major struggles with the offensive line, but Russell Wilson still performed, and Jimmy Graham still performed, and Doug Baldwin obviously still performed. So it is starting to get to the point, though, where there are just so many injuries to this offense where you have to get a little more concerned with players at their current prices. The one I still feel the best at about is probably Danny Woodhead, though, because of his pass catching and red zone work, and that he'll get a bunch of carries.
I mean, I guess my fear right now is that, look, I know that not everybody needs training camp and not all these guys need reps, but it would be nice to have this group together as they intend it to be, to kind of working together and getting comfortable, you know. So like missing offensive linemen, having Joe Flacco be less than 100%, you know, obviously we know Kenneth Dixon is gone for the year. You know, it would be kind of nice to have this whole group working together and kind of getting a feel for how they're going to distribute the ball and how this offense is going to run. So I guess, you know, I know it's not a major issue, but it is something that I'm, you know, a little bit concerned about.
All right, so we'll go to some of these Facebook Live questions. And by the way, if you do have questions, we will try to answer as many as possible. We'll have a little bit of extra time today because we don't have...
Are you subtweeting right now?
The great filibusterer, Adam Rank, in the house.
Right.
That's not even a subtweet.
That's an at.
Let's see here. We shall go to Dom Griffin. If it's not in Miami, if it's not Jay Ajayi, who could it possibly be? I think he's asking a handcuff question. Is it Isaiah Pede?
No.
Kenyon Drake?
No, it's Damian Williams.
Damian Williams,
I believe, would be the next man up. And then I think Kenyon Drake would be more of like a change of pace kind of guy. I think it would be kind of like a committee with Williams and Drake.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Same guy, Dom Griffin. I think he's got a lot of Miami questions. He wants to know, in a standard 12-team league, would Ryan Tannehill even be draftable?
No. Right.
Nope. That nope. easy.
I mean, I don't know. Is it a super flex league?
The quarterback position is just simply too deep.
Yeah.
Like, there's 15 or 16 quarterbacks that I feel very good about as, like, having as my starter, and Ryan Tannehill is not one of them.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Jordan Reed, getting back to the rundown here. Jordan Reed to see a toe specialist, and the team says there is, quote, no timetable for his return.
Oh, boy, that's great to hear.
I put out on Twitter that no timetable equals no bueno. I don't know. I'm just...
Well, but see, I've also read that he's day-to-day.
Yeah.
Which aren't we all?
Right.
You know, if it were anybody else, if it weren't Jordan Reed,
okay,
I don't think people would be concerned.
Well, I don't know. When you see a specialist, though.
Right. But, I mean, if you weren't a player with a lengthy injury history.
That's a great
point. One that everybody looks at. I mean, you know, you look at – whenever we talk about Jordan Reed,
yeah,
it's always the, yeah, he's really good, but, right? If you didn't have that addendum to the analysis – I don't think it would be – it'd be like, hey, yeah, he's seeing a specialist. A little reason to be concerned.
Right.
Jordan Reed goes to see a specialist, and everybody's throwing up skull and crossbones and trying to figure out how to get Vernon Davis. Like, that's just the way it works.
That's a good point. I don't know. Does it – we'll see how much time he misses. But, Franchise, how are you feeling about, you know, Jordan Reed?
I mean, given where you have to invest in drafting him,
okay,
if you want to own him this year in fantasy, I think he's the third tight end off the board.
Right.
And like you got
going what in the pick like 50s,
about, 44 overall according to Fantasy Pro. So what's a middle of the fifth round about? That's super early for a guy who already has a toe injury, no timetable to come back, has an injury history. Yes, he's an animal when he's out there. He's a beast. He's a game changer. But you can't rely on him, and to sink that kind of a pick in him, you have to have a backup plan. You got to get another tight end later, and it's just kind of. Knowing that he's already banged up, it's just not
great.
Not great, Bob.
All right, there you go. How about in L.A., Lance Dunbar out indefinitely with a knee injury. He was kind of a – I think I'm saying this correctly. I think he was a darling among fantasy hipsters.
Wait,
kinda, yeah.
Lance Dunbar?
Lance Dunbar.
A little bit.
Because of his pass-catching ability and you know, in how he was anticipated to be utilized there behind Todd Gurley. But he's out indefinitely now with a knee injury. The reports are Malcolm Brown is the clear backup there to Todd Gurley. But what does it mean for Todd Gurley in terms of the passing game, Alex Gilhar?
Well, I mean, the big question was if he was going to be able to continue seeing that work. He saw over 50 targets last year. It was the only thing, legitimately, like the only thing that kept him fantasy viable after, you know, the running game went to complete poop in Los Angeles last year. So if he's able to keep that, that's going to give him a more a safer weekly floor because the Rams could be behind a fair amount. Sorry, Rams fans, but it's true. And they'll need to be throwing the ball more to stay in game. So it's a decent sign for right now, especially because it seemed like, you know, popular wisdom was that Sean McVay wanted Dunbar to be his West Coast Chris Thompson. But
right.
That passing game work really, really has an impact on running backs like Todd Gurley.
And it's just good to keep in mind, by the way, that Malcolm Brown is the clear-cut handcuff to Todd Gurley as well. We'll stay in L.A. I was going to say stay in Southern California, but really, no, we'll just stay in L.A.
I mean,
Chargers
are still staying in Southern California.
I mean, technically we're going to – you know, Orange County.
Anytime I see the chart, anytime I put the Chargers in my rundown, I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? Am I going to say San Diego? Where are these guys located? I don't know. Whatever. Bottom line is the Chargers. Their second round pick, man. I mean.
This team is cursed.
Yeah.
Forrest Lamp, torn ACL. He gone.
Yep.
I mean, look, you like to see teams competing in training camp, but right now the Chargers and Ravens are in the wrong competition.
Yeah, they should just combine their teams.
They are in the wrong they seem to be challenging, one-upping each other on who can have the most injuries.
It's so bad, man.
It's awful.
It's so bad. I don't know. And again, he's a rookie. He's an offensive guard. But the Chargers had some real offensive line issues last year. And, you know, when you start thinking about Phillip Rivers getting up there, and well, first of all, Phillip Rivers just got beat up last year. So, you know, if you're hoping for a Keenan Allen comeback season, if you're hoping for, you know, Tyrell Williams, you need to have Phillip Rivers out there. And plus, for Melvin Gordon, you'd like to see him get a little bit of help up front as well. We'll start with Melvin Gordon. You know, obviously, Forrest Lamp, a second-round pick, they had high aspirations for him. Franchise, your thoughts on how this might impact that run game?
I don't think we should take it too much, too heavily. I think Melvin Gordon's still going to be a beast. I'm not like dropping him. I think he should still be drafted where he's being drafted, borderline first round running back guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not too concerned. I think they can plug in a veteran there. I mean, like you said, he was a rookie. He's probably, who knows if he was actually going to start. I don't really know.
Yeah, but was probably, I mean, at least you're going to pencil that guy in as a rotational player.
Right.
But good depth either way. And like I said, the LA offensive line definitely needs help. MG, what does it mean for somebody like Keenan Allen, though? In particular, what does it mean for Phillip Rivers?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at this point, if you're Phillip Rivers, haven't you learned to sort of cope with this? I mean,
you think he has.
Right. Like, he doesn't, you know, I'm sure he doesn't like it. I'm sure he'd prefer that he has all his guys healthy. But, you know, I think he's sort of learned how to cope. I think, you know, what may be different this year.
I wonder if it helps Keenan Allen because short passes are going
to
be.
Right. I mean, that may have to be the way of the world for them, is that they're going to have to throw the ball. You know, Rivers is going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. And, you know, we know that Allen's game is not a speed burner. He's not necessarily a deep threat. That's not what he does well. But it does make you wonder also, you know, do they try to involve Melvin Gordon more in the short passing game? You know, they don't have Danny Woodhead now. So, you know, does this mean more Melvin Gordon? Does this mean more, you know, does Antonio Gates or Hunter Henry get a few more looks at the tight end spot? Because if they can't protect Phillip Rivers consistently, they are going to have to figure out ways to get the ball out of his hands just to keep him healthy all year long.
There you go. In Green Bay, Jamal Williams. I put this on the rundown because Franchise had, I mean, the funniest Photoshop picture.
Funny, yeah. But also, like, the worst Photoshop
I did it in MS Paint. That's my go-to. I don't have Photoshop skills, so I just go in MS Paint and, like, trace around.
We'll start with the story. Jamal Williams was getting first-team reps in Green Bay. What does it mean for Ty Montgomery? But, again, if you haven't seen this
go to Franchise's Twitter.
Go to Franchise's Twitter.
So that photo is from Jamal Williams at the rookie premiere when they take the group shot of all the rookies.
Okay.
He was blinking but, like, looking up at the sun, so it looks like his eyes are closed as he
beautiful
looks at the sun. So
but you basically just ripped out the headshot.
Yeah, and put it, like, rising. I put it over a photo of, like, sun beaming down out of the clouds like he's rising up into heaven with his eyes closed.
Oh, my God. I got a good LOL out of that.
Yeah.
That was solid.
Good stuff.
All right, so Jamal Williams, though. And, you know, you've written about Jamal Williams.
Yes, I loved him as a prospect.
There you go.
And he's coming out of school, NFL-ready back, was a workhorse for 4 seasons at BYU. Really mature guy, works hard, and what we saw yesterday is he was getting first-team reps with the Packers in camp because of his pass protection skills, which is something that kept Ty Montgomery off the field late last year and is why the Packers are starting to use Aaron Ripkowski more, because Ty Montgomery lacked in that department. I think he worked on it this offseason. But Jamal Williams' college tape, he's really good at pass protection. I think
indeed
it's one of the reasons they drafted him to
strong
protect Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams can both thrive there in Green Bay.
What do you think about Ty Montgomery's draft price right now? You're going to have to invest, you know, a top 40 pick, top 50 pick for sure, to get the services of Ty Montgomery. Too rich for your blood, Franchise?
No, I love it. I'll take him where he's going all day. I think late 5th round, and with his upside as a pass catcher out of the backfield, and he's a tackle breaker, and he's slippery, and he's fast, and I'll take him there all day.
I would be remiss in not asking Alex Gellar his thoughts on the Green Bay backfield.
This story, I read into it kind of, this almost feels like the type of thing coaches do to push the guy they want to actually be the starter.
All right.
Because they've all been saying the whole time, you're the guy, he's getting the first team reps, needs to improve his pass protection, but we're just going to throw this rookie in who happens to be good at pass protection, so don't mess up and keep getting better at that, Ty. Right.
Okay.
It's a first team rep in an early August practice. I'm not gonna go.
No reason to freak out.
No.
Okay. So there you go. All right. Let's move on to the overvalued series here. The gentlemen in the room have written their takes on players they believe, given their current ADP, are overvalued in fantasy. And we'll start at the running back position. Franchise wrote this piece. You say that Marshawn Lynch, who has an ADP in the top 25, he is a top 10 running back being drafted right now. You're saying Marshawn Lynch is overdrafted. Why?
Because is he a top 10 running back? He's not in his prime anymore.
No, he is
not. People are drafting him like it's 2014. The guy's 31 years old. He's got tons of wear and tear on his body, which is what he temporarily retired for because his body was so torn up. And now, yeah, he's back with the Raiders, but we've already seen blurbs come out that they're going to try to limit his workload to under 200 carries. So he's got a cap on the volume. They have two talented, young, quick guys behind him. And, yeah, he'll probably be the goal line guy, the short yardage guy, the plow. He has some touchdown upside, but given his volume cap, he's not a good – he's not – they're going to be used as a pass-catching back. I just think it's way too early to be drafting him as, like, a top-10 guy.
I feel as if people are drafting him as a top-10 RB. And again, I contend your assertion that they're drafting him like 2014 beast mode. You know what I'm saying? Because if this was 2014 beast mode behind this offensive line, oh, forget it. He'd be a top three. He's a top five pick all day long.
Right.
But what I'll say is I feel as if people are drafting him as a top 10 RB because they feel like he's got a pretty safe floor.
Right.
He's got a great offensive line. And here's the funny thing about caps is that they go right out the window in competitive games. And if the Oakland Raiders are going to be in a lot of competitive games in that division, I think they will be. I think Jack Del Rio is going to have a really hard time putting Marshawn Lynch on his bench thinking, well, we got to limit this guy's workload. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
But are you willing to take the risk on a guy whose biggest question mark is how much gas does he have left in the tank?
Yeah.
How long is he going to last that early
true.
In your draft?
And especially with his running style. You know, I know Raiders fans like to dump on Latavius Murray and talk about how he avoided contact and ran out of bounds. Yeah, maybe. But it also, you know, preserves you a little bit more.
It does.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a physical runner who does not shy away from contact.
Oh, yeah.
And that adds up. That takes a toll after a while.
All right. You also say Spencer Ware being overdrafted right now. ADP in the top 40.
Yep.
RB18. So he's being drafted as a running back 2 in most leagues. Why Spencer Ware?
You know who led the Kansas City Chiefs in rushing touchdowns last year?
Alex Smith.
Yeah, that's right.
When you pose that question, I'm like, it's got to be Alex Smith.
Spencer Ware had 3 rushing touchdowns. He had a good first half.
Interesting.
Then he had a concussion, and he came back and just, like, wasn't the same guy. Mm-hmm. And people are drafting him like he's going to be the guy there. But Kareem Hunt, who's a rookie, is in a stiff competition with him in camp. And Kareem Hunt is a talented kid.
Yeah.
I know Marcus really likes him.
Loves him.
He's got great balance. He's got a 3-down skill set. And this is a camp battle, and I don't think you can sink a 5th-round pick into a guy like Ware thinking he'll be your RB2 all season when you got a guy like Ware right behind Hunt right behind him.
Gilhar, am I crazy in thinking that Andy Reid doesn't really employ that much of a committee? So that what my thought process is here is if Kareem Hunt is able to win that starting job, will they use both backs? I'm sure they will. But my initial thought is that Andy Reid will actually lean heavily towards his quote-unquote starter.
Yeah, I think this is going to be Spencer Ware still. I have a hard time thinking that Kareem Hunt's going to come in and just rip this entire job away. Like, we get into this well, I don't know what I want to call it, a situation every August where we're like, wow, middle to late round rookie gonna come in, steal the job from established veteran.
It was Devontae Booker last year.
It's everybody.
It's
every year.
Yeah, sister.
And I think Spencer Ware is at an okay price right now in drafts.
No.
No,
franchise.
Nope.
I mean, sure, Kareem Hunt could come in and steal his job, but I just think Andy Reid has a history, like you said, James, of kind of featuring more so one back primarily.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware has been in the offense for a while. They know him. He's been very good when he's been healthy. Had a few injury concerns last year, but
yeah.
I think this is still his job.
One more thing that concerns me is Spencer Ware was
huge in the first half of the season because of his involvement as a pass catcher. He averaged 39.1 receiving yards per game weeks 1 through 8. And I think he had like 100-something yards in week 1. And we were like, oh, my God, Spencer Ware can catch passes.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then weeks 10 through 17, he only averaged 16.7 receiving yards per game. So I think because of Kareem Hunt's skill set, he's a talented pass catcher too. That's also a red flag for me. Like you said, maybe Andy Reid isn't a committee guy, but if you have a guy who's much better than your starter at pass catching, that's going to limit
they'll mix him in
workload.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll mix him in.
Yeah,
I see it. All right, let's go to the old Facebook Live. Jordy Nelson or Antonio Brown? This question comes from Sergio. We'll go around the horn. MG, my guy Marcus Grant. Jordy Nelson or Antonio Brown? What?
AB.
Brown.
It's Brown.
Antonio Brown.
It's Brown. Okay. It's all Brown all day long. All right. So we'll move on. Gelhart, give me your take on Nuke Hopkins, who's being drafted 28th overall. Your wide receiver, 12. You're saying Nuke Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins there in Houston, overvalued. Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, my dumb luck. I put out this stupid article yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins and Brandon Marshall on it, and then the two wide receivers right next to them both.
Curse them.
However, even still, I just feel the biggest problem with drafting DeAndre Hopkins as wide receiver 12 is you're taking him at like his absolute ceiling right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Yes. I mean, he had his one great year where he was like, you know, he's like wide receiver 6. Other than that, he's been kind of in the wide receiver like 10 to 15 range, or gasp last year, like wide receiver 36 or whatever.
Yikes.
That year he finished as the wide receiver 6. He had a ton of volume, over 180 targets. And that's just not how the Texans operate when they're winning. Okay. They have a good defense. They like to run the ball, control the clock. When they started winning games that season too, Nuke Hopkins' targets per year, I mean, Harmon and I know we talked about this last offseason, his targets per game dropped from like 14 to 8 over the course of the season. Like that's a huge amount of targets to lose per game. So he's still going to have a good year. He's an extremely talented receiver. He's going to lead that team in targets.
Right.
Probably going to get, you know, 25% of the team targets. But you're drafting a wide receiver like that on a low-scoring offense that's going to be either starting Tom Savage or a rookie quarterback. Like, taking him at wide receiver 12 is outrageous when there are other players around there. Like, I think what I say in the article, too, is I kind of project, like, if you project a solid season for him, like, 1,100 yards, march to 1,100, and, like, 7 touchdowns, it's a very solid season.
Yeah.
On a typical wide receiver scoring year, that puts him more in the wide receiver 17 to 20 range.
Okay.
Not wide receiver 12.
I mean, you're definitely drafting him on upside, but I don't know, man. I don't necessarily agree that he is being priced at his absolute ceiling, because his absolute ceiling we saw in 2015, 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns.
In a very different offense.
Yeah, I mean, who was chucking him the ball? Brian Hoyer. I mean, I don't know.
But also, like I said, a lot of that season was baked into the early portion of the year with him getting.
Yeah, he was getting pounded 15, with targets.
16
yeah.
targets a game.
Yeah, that's true.
He's only getting 8 to 10 targets a game, that's still solid, but like you're not going to be able to hit that crazy ceiling we used to see.
All right.
Which is why I think he's being like right now, like him finishing at wide receiver 12 seems like a realistic thing, but it's also at the top of his range of outcomes.
Obviously, you're tapped into the Packers. You put Davante Adams here as a wide receiver that is overvalued. He's got an ADP in your top 40. He's being drafted as your wide receiver 19. Why is Davante Adams, who had, what, 9 touchdowns?
12 touchdowns.
12 touchdowns last
997
year.
997 receiving yards.
1,000 yards in 12 touchdowns. How is he being overvalued in your mind?
The big problem with Davante Adams is that the Packers offense, as we know, is loaded. They've got Jordy, mm-hmm. Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, too. Last year,
he was banged up last year.
He only missed 3 games, but if you go back and look at all the injuries he played through, it was ankle,
yep.
hamstring,
that's right.
neck, back, like a lot of games he was not full strength. And in the past, Davante Adams thrived. He got 7 of his 12 touchdowns in the red zone. Jordy Nelson is the only sure thing with Aaron Rodgers in the red zone. He's, since 2013, commanded nearly 30% of all his red zone looks. But also in that time zone, when Cobb was healthy, he averaged close to 24% of Rodgers' red zone looks. And Davante Adams last year had about 20. So the big trouble is, if you take away a chunk of that pie and give it to Martellus Bennett, as you've been high on, or Randall Cobb.
Let's go.
All of a RDB. Sudden, like, Davante Adams is, because he had fewer than 1,000 yards, his fantasy output was dependent on touchdowns. And if you take
it was.
If you You're take right. away even, you know, a small, like, four touchdowns from him. That's a lot to lose when you're drafting him as the wide receiver 19. So I just think he'll be a decent and fantasy relevant player. But right now, same thing. We're taking him at that ceiling, expecting double digit touchdowns, and it's likely not going to happen. If there is one quarterback in the league who could float multiple receivers and a tight end with double digit touchdowns, it's Aaron Rodgers, but he spreads that ball around after Jordy. So that's just my concern with Adams there.
All right. We'll go to the quarterback position now. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, wrote this piece. You've got Matt Ryan, who last year was one of the best in the game, man. ADP, he's going in the sixth round. Why do you say Matt Ryan is being overvalued in fantasy?
Because not only was he one of the best in the game, I mean, he literally had a career year last year. I mean, you know, he had. I know you don't get fantasy points for passer rating, but his single season passer rating last year,
awesome,
ranks fifth all time.
Awesome, man.
That's a hard number to duplicate. Yeah. I mean, everything not only went up, his touchdown percentage not only went up, it nearly doubled. I mean, these are numbers that are going to be hard for him to duplicate. He's also going to have to try to do it with a new offensive coordinator. You know, he's got Steve Sarkisian in there now as opposed to Kyle Shanahan. So there will be some changes. There will be some hiccups. And I'm not saying Matt Ryan's going to be trash this year, but he's going to take a step back. You know, it's sort of the Michael Fabiano beware the magical season theory a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
is he a top five quarterback?
No,
I don't.
Wow!
I think I have him at five or six, but I don't know.
I think I have him at six. so it's not like that was a massive.
I love it,
right?
But like,
you asked if he's a top five quarterback, and I said no.
I like it.
So I mean, just but if you're gonna go out and right now, I know I think Fantasy Football Calculator has him going in the sixth round, early sixth round. I just think there are other guys who could give you, I think, equal or better production that you can get far later in the draft.
Okay. If I could stick up for Matt Ryan a bit,
okay.
I just feel like he was, for the early part of his career, stuck in a, you know, very old school offense, right? Like the Mike Smith offense, very old school. And I think they modernized his game quite a bit. He's always had the skill set. And when I look at, you know, I think about where he was drafted. I mean, sky was the limit for him when he was coming into the draft out of Boston College, but he's got a big arm, big, tall, you know, obviously lanky quarterback. And I just look at the personnel. Nothing's really changed. I mean, I get that they're changing offensive coordinators, but they're generally going to keep that same offense. I don't see a lot of changes in Atlanta. And I agree with you. I don't think he's going to have the season he had last year. But given that he's got all of these guys, I like him. I think he's one of the safer quarterbacks that you could take. And if you're getting this guy in the sixth or seventh round, I don't hate it.
He's safer, but he's going to be safe in the Matt Ryan that we saw for several years, where he's going to get you
the Matt Ryan.
He's going to get you 4,300 yards and 28 touchdowns.
I mean,
those are good stats, but like in fantasy, you want somebody with like higher weeks. So if you want to, you know, go to bed with a warm glass of milk every night and get your 16 quarterback points from Matt Ryan, sure. That's why I'm with Marcus on this. I'm not in on that in the sixth or seventh round. Like, wait, get anybody else.
Yeah, you can get Kirk Cousins in like the ninth round and he'll give you the same numbers.
Get Andy Dalton later. Get Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. Get Marcus Mariota. Okay. Get Derek Carr even. Get Jameis Winston. Get Matt Stafford.
Well, you bring up Derek Carr. Maybe don't get Derek Carr.
Well, that's because his ADP.
Because his ADP
right
is a little bit crazy.
Stupid.
It's a little bit crazy.
He's got an ADP, late sixth, early seventh round.
Right.
Overvalued in your mind, Marcus Grant.
Why? Yeah. I mean, so, look, I enjoy watching Derek Carr play. I think he's a fun quarterback to watch. But in terms of fantasy, his numbers have been fairly mediocre. I mean, you know, he's yet to have a 4,000-yard passing season. You know, the numbers just haven't been eye-popping. Some of it is just because, you know, he's not a check-down guy necessarily, but he's also not necessarily slinging it way down the field a whole lot. It also hurts, not that it's his fault, but the Raiders have dropped a lot of passes. I mean, that's a lot of opportunity that literally is laying on the ground there because they're not holding on to the football. And I know there's the whole drops are overrated theory, but man, it's still that's still yards that get left out there.
Indeed.
Because you didn't catch the football.
Indeed.
So, I mean, for him to be going where he's going, I mean, he's coming off the board as, I think, like the number six quarterback. And I can't buy into Derek Carr being the sixth best quarterback. I mean, you're telling me there are only five guys out there potentially better than him in fantasy football, and I can't get down with that.
I don't know. What is it? Raider fans driving the price up? And what? I mean, there are Super Bowl aspirations, certainly.
I think that has something to do with it. I really do think, you know, because they are considered a maybe not a favorite, but certainly a candidate to maybe make a Super Bowl run.
A contender this year.
I think, you know, I think people buy into that and think, well, hey, yeah, man, this offense with Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, and now they've got beast mode. Hey, why not?
But do some damage.
Right, but I just think if we, you know, stop hyperventilating and we take a step back and look at it, we'll realize that maybe it's not quite as gangbusters as we want it to be.
Well, I mean, he played, you know, 15 games last year, and like you said, he still was shy of 4,000 yards and threw 28 touchdowns. The year before, he threw 32. I think that's – we're looking – if you're drafting him as the sixth quarterback of the board, over, you're expecting a big progression from that. And I don't know where that's going to come from.
I don't know where it comes from.
They coaxed Marshawn Lynch out of retirement to give themselves a more capable and, you know, hopefully established running game to salt away leads. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to have him slinging the rock a gajillion times every
I think
game.
What you guys are pointing to is more of a lower volume passing attack.
Right.
Yes.
One other point I want to make, too. Oakland's defense was abysmal for many weeks last year. They were one of the worst defenses in the league.
I think the first 6 weeks of the year,
they were on pace to break records.
Right. Historically,
like Saints bad.
Right.
And I think that, you know, hopefully they upgraded in the offseason. I mean, that's the idea of the offseason, to upgrade your weakness.
Yeah, I don't know if they did.
So maybe, but
I don't know if they did.
If they did, or if even if it's going to be a little bit better, maybe he's not, like you said, slinging so much later in games, trying to score more points and keep up with what their defense has been giving up. Right. Something to think about.
There you go. By the way, it's a series that you can find. It's going to cap out with the tight ends today, is it not?
Correct.
So
yes.
Overvalued tight ends.
When look for franchises coming at your boy Marty B.
I'm taking down your Marty B.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh.
The other side of the
here
argument, baby.
Let's go.
Ready? Fight.
Oh, yeah. I got some next-gen stats, bro. You're using old-gen stats.
I'm using old-gen stats. Oh, boy. NFL.com/fantasyfootball to catch it there. It's right there on that fantasy homepage, NFL.com/fantasyfootball, to see the entire list of overvalued players, again, at the running back, wide receiver, quarterback. And today, when you hear this podcast, it will drop. The tight ends, the overvalued tight ends, according to Matt Franciscovich, which will be entirely wrong, obviously.
Oh, man. Entirely.
Obviously.
Every single one.
Are
every
you
single
calling
one.
Fake news?
Wrong.
I'd like to go answer a Facebook question here. We got a question here from Richard Campa, who's been a consistent listener of the podcast. We appreciate your patronage, Richard. Terrell Pryor or Sammy Watkins?
Oh.
Who do you prefer? I like this
Ooh,
question.
Ooh, that's a spicy.
That's hard, man.
I like this question. Terrell Pryor or Sammy Watkins? What say you, franchise?
I think Sammy Watkins has more upside, so I'd probably lean with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got more upside.
I think I go TP just because he's in a more pass-heavy offense.
There you go.
They're going like
now
17,
you're talking.
17, 18, like one pick after the other.
The Bills, I think, have led the NFL in rushing back-to-back years, and I don't see them changing it significantly.
I don't know what to expect in Buffalo, quite
Washington,
honestly.
Washington's going to keep slinging it.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we
they're
know
gonna keep slinging
yeah, oh, absolutely. And all those targets have left the building, and Terrell Pryor certainly is going to be the beneficiary there with targets, but I don't know what the hell to expect with Buffalo, right? Sean McDermott,
yeah.
the new head coach. You would think that they get away from the ground and pound, but I'm not sure. Anyways, Pryor or Sammy Watkins for you, Alex Keelhart?
I'd go Pryor.
Wow.
It's close.
You're on an island franchise.
Damn. It's close. I love Sammy Watkins. Like, I mean, Sammy Watkins would be like my next pick.
I'll chill
that.
On Sammy Watkins Island.
I'm totally on board with Sammy Watkins this year, but I also think Pryor's got a very high achievable ceiling in the pass-happy offense, and he hasn't had the injury concerns, so for me, at that point, I'd rather take him and his ceiling than a little bit of the risk with Sammy.
All right. I like it. Let's close out your show with a round of Daily Depths.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Depths and Hooks. Give me depths, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up depths and bound depths.
All right, Daily Depth time. We shall start with MG, my guy Marcus Grant. What you got?
Dabbing up a couple of animated shows.
Okay.
Rick and Morty's back, y'all. I mean, I guess they were back, but then not back, and now they're back again. They had their season 3 premiere like a few months ago. They just kind of dropped it on us out of the blue, and then they said...
That's pretty funny.
And then they said, wait for the summer, and we'll give you the rest of the episodes. So the rest of the episodes started this past week. And so I guess episode 2 of the new season... just premiered. It was hilarious. It's awesome. That show continues to be great. If you haven't watched Rick and Morty, you should start watching Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Because it's awesome. Voltron, the Legendary Defender, season 3, starts tomorrow.
Voltron.
You remember the old Voltron.
Yeah, so I do.
The new ones, I will say this, because there are...
I didn't realize they had a new one.
This is the third one. It's on Netflix, third season.
I see.
The first season kind of... I felt like the first season ended at a weird place. The second season picked up and really started to advance the story. And so now there's some intrigue as we get to the third season. So I'm looking forward to that.
Voltron.
That drops on Netflix, I believe, tomorrow. Season 3.
I was not ready for that.
There you go.
Okay. I'm wearing a Donkey Kong shirt, and I was not ready for that old school reference. Franchise, what do you got?
I'm sticking to football with my daily daps. So there's an article on the newstribune.com by Greg Bell.
Okay.
Up in Seattle. Yes. It's kind of a profile on my boy CJ Procise.
Ooh.
And his off-season training regimen.
Okay.
Trying to get his body right so that he can be more durable, because that has been his main issue coming out of school.
Sure.
And he had an entirely different schedule this off-season, training, getting stronger and faster and healthier.
Are you telling me?
I'm saying.
Best shape of his life?
Oh, well.
Are we got a BSOH?
There wasn't any of that in this article. There wasn't any of that in this article. But what I'm saying is sometimes you forget these kids coming out of college. It's kind of a whirlwind. They got to train for the combine. They got all these rookie responsibilities they got to do. And then they're on the field and you're like, oh, well, they're going to have a great year. But now he's in the NFL schedule and he had the entire offseason to like get a routine down and really focus on his body.
I mean, think about him just moving.
Right.
I mean, people forget about that.
Right.
That's a
just
big ordeal.
Relocating, right.
You know what I mean? That's a big ordeal.
So, and you can get CJ Procise in the 12th round right now. I think he's going to be a beast.
Okay.
And then my other daily dap is going to go out to the new Macklemore music video.
Yeah.
Everyone's making fun of me for talking about.
I wonder, what's the backlash here? Why are they making fun of me?
Because Macklemore, people have a problem with.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm just generally indifferent to Macklemore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but it's fun.
Hey, his new song with...
Lil Yachty?
No, not Lil Yachty.
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay, all right. Well,
so it's called Marmalade is the name of the song. Lil Yachty's
Skylar
on the
Gray
track.
Is who I was thinking of.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Love that song.
But the music video just came out yesterday, and there's a really fun Marshawn Lynch cameo, and there's some stuff involving Tom Brady, and everyone should watch it because it's just really entertaining. And
Macklemore,
you'll have a laugh.
Seattle area rapper.
Correct.
Beast apparently, Mode, obviously, as we know, it's got some Seattle roots.
Apparently, they're boys. Yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
It was a fun music video. You guys should check it out.
Macklemore and Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
What a pairing.
Why not?
Okay.
Hey, by the way, real quick. Yeah. Just a fanboy alert.
Yes.
The Packers right now on Twitter are doing an Ask Janice.
Oh yeah, I was following along.
So just for all the fanboys out there, the greatest wide receiver of all time is answering your questions.
Is he going to get
on Twitter.com?
First question: are you going to play at all this year?
Wow, that's harsh.
No,
that's harsh.
I mean, they got so much depth.
Why'd you have to do that?
Okay, all right. What? I'll give you one. How about this? The Twitter account Hold This Beer.
I had to go look at it after I saw it on your DAP section.
Yes, the Twitter account Hold This Beer. And it's basically a hold my beer account, and it's people doing absolutely dumb stuff online and captured on video, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It shouldn't make me laugh like this, but it makes me laugh. So Hold This Beer is worth a follow on Twitter. They post a bunch of, like, I don't know. It's like, it's like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
It's people doing absolutely stupid stuff.
Involving beer or?
Probably not. But,
the expression, like,
hold my beer. Hold my beer.
I go do something stupid, basically, right. Exactly. Is what it's riffing on.
I will also daily dap my wife. We celebrated our 8th wedding anniversary. I know I talked about it briefly on Monday, but, we celebrated over this past weekend. And
wow, what an achievement.
Nice.
8 years. And the thing is, too, she has had to put up with my dumb ass for 8 years. And longer, because we dated for 5.
Wow.
So 13 years in this relationship, putting up with my dumb ass.
God, your relationship's about to go into high school.
My entire relationship is older than Matt Harmon, for God's sake.
Basically.
So yeah, man, I just, you know, look, it's not, it's, I don't know if you, I don't know if people know this, not easy living with me. Not easy living
at
with
me. At least you're aware of that.
Oh, I'm very aware of it. And I have worked on that extensively at the behest of my wife. But no, for her to put up with me for this long is, I mean, she deserves sainthood. So Daily Daps there. But yes, so Daily Daps my wife. Hold this beer. Two totally different, you know, subject matters. But
great. There you That's go. What it's all about. Don't worry. I'm not going to Adam rank. And we're sitting well under our normal our target time threshold. Ooh, so don't worry. I'm not.
If you want to just, you know, go for the next 20 minutes or something.
I could think of a topic that's going to rile James up a little bit, and I'll rant about it for a few minutes.
Beautiful.
Let him stoke the fire. No.
So let me talk about Sonny Dykes for a
My two daily daps are going to be, first and foremost, to the International, which is happening right now. It's the biggest esports Dota 2 tournament in the world. The winning team will take home over $12 million from this
what?
Tournament.
To play video games.
It's happening right now in Seattle. Group play is going on right now. The main event will be next week. So if you're interested in checking it out, they do a great job with their production value and covering it. They've got a lot of different teams that are very, you know, smart about the game and call like legit play-by-play for the thing. So it's very fun, and it's a lot of cool to watch, and it's a lot of cool to watch. It's very cool to watch.
Yes.
And good luck to the American teams there. Hopefully they can, you know, bring home our country some glory.
$12 million
for the winning team.
What?
$12 million.
That is amazing.
And then also, I guess I have two video game related things, but daily daps to EA Sports for adding the women version of sports to first they did it in FIFA, and now they're doing it in NBA. So the WNBA is going to be in the latest like NBA Live game.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool. It's something like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense.
It does.
I can't believe that was never in there before.
Because,
like, girls like to play video games, too, and especially the sports. Like, now, you know, girls can go in there as, you know, the women's national team and get Alex Morgan and Sydney LaRue and everybody and go kick some butt or play as the WNBA. So
I like it.
Very, very cool. It's just one of those little things. I was like, wow, I can't believe they didn't do that years ago. But awesome. And Daily Daps to them for doing it now.
Nice. I like it. All right. Are we done with Daily Daps?
I think
we are.
Are we getting out of here?
We are.
Oh, God. Is that Adam Rank's music?
Oh, God. For the Whiskey from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. For MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and the Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matt Franciscovich. I'm James Coe. We're out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.